I encourage you, if you have them, open up your Bibles. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, believe it or not, this is the 29th message we've done in the book of Hebrews. We will make it through. And during our time in Hebrews, we have seen that our pastor has been addressing the reality of Jesus Christ is better. Better than anything they have ever had, because he was talking to Jewish converts. And they have come to faith in Christ Jesus. And now as they're facing persecution and difficulties, it appears that some of them have longed or began to talk about. I remember when, those good old days. We're nostalgic that way. Sometimes we do that. Oh, remember back when? And they glorify those old days. And our pastor is showing us Jesus has come in the flesh. He has shed his blood. He has entered the heavenlies. And this is way better than the old sacrificial system. So don't clamor for that, because you have Jesus who is way better. And so though you are facing persecution, difficulties, stay the course. Stick with Jesus. And so he is really emphasizing at this point the importance of walking in faith. And we've looked at that over the past couple of weeks. We come to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. And that's the subject matter for our pastor. So Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be starting at verse 4. We'll be going through verse 7. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. And as I said earlier, these past 2 weeks, we've been looking at Hebrews 11 and we've talked about faith. And in our passage today, as we look at 4 through 4, I thought we were going to make it all the way through 7, but we're not. We're just going to look at 4. If you think about the context, and that is so important when you come to a text like this, realize that he is encouraging people who are facing persecution and difficulty. Their goods are being plundered. They're perhaps losing jobs. They're being thrown in prison for their faith. And so he is using examples, and he is now showing us pictures. And in fact, you will see in verses 4 through 7 that really he gives us three pictures. Three pictures of specific faith that we are commended to have. And we're going to look at the first one. But if you remember in our previous weeks, as we've talked about faith, biblical faith then is much different than what the world calls faith. You know, the movies, the Hallmark things, just have faith. You know, the football team's out there and the coach is like, you just got to look deep within and you just need faith. Okay, faith in what? Faith in myself? Probably not a good place to go. And so what we have looked at, and hopefully we established in the previous weeks, is that biblical faith is trusting in God's word alone. We're trusting in God's word that he has provided what we need for our salvation by sending Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we are only by faith able to be accepted or counted as pure and spotless. And that occurs as we rest in what Christ has done on my behalf. We don't please God. We aren't commended by God because we do all these great things. We're pleased and we please God and we are commended by God when we rest in His provision, in His promises, and say, I know I can't do it, but you have provided. And that is the heart of biblical faith. And as we've said, the world loves to talk about faith. Just have faith. Have faith in yourself. Or, you know, I'm a person of faith. I have a strong faith. And I just love to go, in what? Just ask that next natural question. And it's amazing how often people are offended by that. Or they'll tell us, oh, I have a private faith. Well, private faith in what? It's okay to be private about that, but know where your faith is pointed to be. And so for the biblical Christian, we are often faced with the difficulties and the temptation, just as these early Jews were, to, well, I just need to do more. I need to buck it up, discipline myself harder. They were facing so many things, and so they were tempted to turn away from trusting and resting in Christ and going back to the outward signs where they were accepted and they were in a big community. And so we come back to this same theme that our pastor has been doing since the beginning. Jesus is indeed better. And now as he shows us these four or three characters in verses 4-7, what we find is he is giving us pictures of what faith looks like. Not in a moralistic way. Go do this and you'll be accepted. But sort of a rotating the facets of a diamond so you can understand what faith looks like. Now, I are indeed these headings that's robbed and duplicated from different commentators that Abel shows us the way of faith as we look at the life of Abel. Enoch shows us the walk of faith, and Noah will show us the work of faith. So in other words, when we have faith, it's going to affect the way we live, how we walk in our life, and the things we actually do in our life. And so that's this three-dimensional picture that our author, I believe, is showing us by showing us Abel, Enoch, and Noah. So let's start with Abel, the way of faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he still died, he still speaks. Now that's not a lot about Abel. And so let's turn back in our scriptures to Genesis chapter 4 and we'll get a better understanding of who is Abel. Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the first of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offspring, offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Now, it's easy to look at this passage and ask ourselves, okay, what was different between Cain and Abel's offerings? Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice and yet reject Cain's sacrifice? Now, you can hear all kinds of things. It was a heart issue. Well, yes, it was indeed a heart issue. Or some will say, well, Abel had faith and Cain didn't. I would agree. We're going to look at that further. We see in our text today, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is definitely a key thing. But think about why our pastor is mentioning Abel at this point in time. What has our pastor been seeking to drive home to his original hearers? He's been showing us that the way we come to God is not through rituals and types, by going and sacrificing the blood of goats and bulls, but through what? Faith in the work of our ultimate Savior, Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews has been heavily saturated with blood all through. We've seen this again and again. Here we see blood within this passage. We see in Cain and Abel's account that the blood's on the ground. And this is more than just pointing to the actual act of sacrifice. It is much more. It is an issue of faith about what those sacrifices pointed to and represented. I would submit to you, as you look at Hebrews 11 and Genesis 4, what we are being shown is that Abel offered his sacrifice with faith. Faith in a promised Messiah who would shed his blood on Abel's behalf. And Abel was actually going, I know God will somehow cover my sin, and this is a reminder to me. We know under the Mosaic law, remember when Moses came along, that sacrifices were commanded. And in fact, what's interesting, grain offerings were permitted under the Levitical, under the Mosaic law. And so why wasn't Cain's? And so how did Abel know and act in faith and Cain doesn't appear to? Well, I think we're shown the answer if you back up from Genesis chapter 4 to chapter 3 of Genesis. Right after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Speaking of Adam and Eve. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife went and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what did Adam and Eve do immediately after sin? We talked about that last week. First, they sought to cover themselves, attempting to sew fig leaves together. And then secondly, they thought they could hide, run in shame from God. But isn't it amazing that if we continue to keep reading, if you drop down to verse 21, God, even after they sinned, provided a covering for Adam and Eve after they sinned. Look at 3:21. And the Lord God made for Adam and Eve and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Now, how do you make a garment of skin? Some critter's got to die. His blood has to be shed for that skin to come. And so God literally sacrificed an animal so that he could make clothes or coverings for Adam and Eve. I would submit to you that Cain and Abel knew that story. They were aware of that. That was, once again, an early glimmer of the gospel. Remember, the God's word, as you move from Genesis through to Revelation, is a continual unfolding of God's plan for his people. And so what we are being shown here is the idea of a substitutionary sacrifice. When God sacrifices that animal to cover Adam and Eve, he's saying, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to fix your sin problem. Here, this shedding of blood is necessary to cover you. And so even Adam and Eve understood that concept as we move forward. What did we learn in the book of Hebrews? Remember Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22? Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so there's this picture that's already developing. I will grant you, it's a bronze mirror at this point. But it's a picture that is developing of what God will do. He will be the one who will provide for his people. And so what we're being shown here in Abel's faith of sacrifice is Abel brings his sacrifice and says, I know this won't cover, this won't pay the debt, but Lord, you will. And his sacrifice is showing that. Abel had faith in God's ultimate provision. And Abel understood that God had to provide. He looked forward to whatever that would be called in the future, God's provision. You see, when we look at Cain's sacrifice, we very clearly get the feeling that he is offering his grains or his fruits from the land to buy God off. Here's my payment. That payment will never be sufficient. It will never meet the requirements of a holy God. It's probable and very likely as we read this that Cain believed, I'm good enough. This will satisfy you, God, and let me get on about my business. If you will, God is nothing more than a Superman, rather than the holy, infinite creator who brings all things into existence by the mere power of his word. God being holy and without sin. And so Cain is just sort of, I'll give him a few bucks and we're good. And how many attend church? How many throw, I really had a bad week, I'll throw an extra 100 in the plate. You won't buy God off in that way. And here's the hard part. In one sense, Abel's sacrifice, which was accepted, really didn't work either, did it? Because it looked forward to the ultimate sacrifice that God would provide. That sacrifice of the animal that Abel brought only was accepted because Abel offered it in faith. God, you will provide. It's that theme that we find. Remember that unfolding plan of redemption from the beginning to the end? Everyone under the old covenant, when they offered sacrifices and they brought their offerings and their tithes and they brought these things, it is by faith that they knew that God would provide, that they were accepted. They were looking for, as John said in John chapter 1, verse 29, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we'll see that all through. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about Abraham. When Isaac and Abraham are commanded to go up and offer an offering, and Isaac's like, we got wood, we got fire starter, but we're kind of missing the sacrifice. What are we going to do, Dad? And remember Abraham's words? God will provide. That's the heart of gospel faith. That's the heart of God's desire for us, that we would, in the way of faith, look to Him and Him alone for providing what we lack. And He has provided that through Christ Jesus. And so I would submit to you, in Abel, we are being shown the way of faith through Christ Jesus, looking to the Messiah that God alone has provided. Because we don't get to come to God on our own terms. Faith is vital and critical, but what your faith is so important. And so it's not, remember the Titans, you know, just have faith. Now have faith in God's ultimate provision of Christ Jesus on your behalf. And so that is the unfolding promise of salvation from beginning to end. There's one last lesson that is found in Abel's story. Did you see how Cain responded to Abel's faith? He didn't. He didn't see Abel's faith, did he? And even when God comes to him, he doesn't hear the problem. He doesn't think to himself, you know, Abel offered a blood sacrifice. Oh yeah, I remember Mom and Dad, they talked about the fact that God had to provide a covering and that he was going to send a Savior one day. Because I would submit to you, Adam and Eve were discussing that very thing. They had seen that in the proto-gospel, Genesis 3:15. I will crush his head and you shall bruise his heel. Adam and Eve understood that God would provide some sort of means of payment. Even Cain, when God came to him, you see that in Genesis 4:7? God challenged him. If you do right, will you not be accepted? He's like, whoa, Cain, do you see? You can't do this on your own. You've got to trust me. Well, how did Cain respond to that? He runs away and he goes and he murders his brother. Truth fact. This is how often people who are not of God, how the world will often respond to believers. They will respond to faith. It's why the issue of praying in Jesus' name is such an issue in the public arena. You want to pray in the name of, by all the gods of the heaven, they don't care. But when we pray in Jesus' name, we have zeroed in on the faith issue. And so we need to realize this is how those who are opposed to God, opposed to the reality that God alone can provide for what we need to get back to God, they are going to respond in anger, sometimes murder, because they are followers of Satan. Cain was a follower of Satan. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 says this, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. So don't be surprised, my brothers, that the world hates you. Do you see the message there? It's a reality that we will face opposition. Peter, one of the apostles, foot and mouth Peter, he put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8. He gave us this warning. He says, "You as believers, be sober-minded, be watchful." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so, here's the truth. When you do what is righteous, when you do what is proper before the Lord and you act in faith, you will sometimes find that things don't go quite the way you thought they would. Expect it in a fallen world. And the reality for Cain was, is he was so proud that he would not submit to God. He would not humble himself before God. Imagine Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Remember those? If Cain had gone, "God, you're right. Let me try again." I'm sure he would have been permitted that option. But no, he runs off and he sheds blood, his brother's blood, on the ground. And so Cain was simply too proud to do things God's way. He's like so many religions of the world. Think about how many different ways there are by the different religions on how to get right with God. You'll find all of them except faith in Christ alone are what you do. Oh, do this and God will be pleased. You do enough of the D's. I just ran into someone this past week. I was talking with them and they were like, "Yeah, I try and live a good life. And, you know, if I do get enough good things, I'm pretty sure God's going to, you know, cut me some slack." I shared the gospel, but sadly, right over their heads, it was all what they would do. So pray and pray fervently for those that you have the opportunity to share the good news of God's mercy and grace. Now, interesting for Abel. He was a man who was commended by God and he got promoted really quick. And sometimes we look at that and we go, "Look, he died for it." Yeah, but he got to go fellowship with God. And so, death is not the worst thing. Eternal separation from the holy God of the universe is the worst thing. And so we need to learn from Cain and Abel. We need to learn from Cain that we do not see religion or ritual, which is why I believe our pastor is referring to Cain and Abel here. Going back and going under the old sacrificial system. That's the key. Another observation from this passage, Genesis 4. Also reminds us and tells us about two types of people. Did you know that there's only two types of people in this world? People talk to me about, "Oh, racism and all the different races and nationalities and all." And I'm like, we're all human. Sorry. That's the way it works. But there are two kinds of people. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, 'God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel.' For Cain killed him. To Seth also was a son was born. and he called his name Enosh. And at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. You're given a glimpse and a glimmer, and you'll find it in other passages, that there are two types of human beings on this world. Those who are of God and those who are not. I don't care what color or race you are. What matters is, are you professing Christ, God's provision for salvation? Then you are of God. Otherwise, you are in that other group. And it will not go well for you. And what we see in this picture is these glimpses in Genesis of the unfolding plan of salvation that God is working. Hopefully you're here this morning and you have felt the Spirit's movement in your heart. You're able to go, you know, I think I can accept this reality that God provided Jesus on my behalf. And he's my holiness and he's my righteousness. Guess what? You are a child of God. You are one of those that God is working in. But if you just sit there in your seat and quietly are going, this idiot and this fool, how can these people believe these fables? And my encouragement to you is, don't believe that perhaps I'm not one of those that God has worked. Cry out in mercy to God. Have mercy upon me. And you may find that God opens your heart and you go, this doesn't seem like such nonsense after all. God has indeed provided salvation. And so for those of you who are believers, the question that we are challenged to ask is, are you walking in the way of faith like Abel? He looked to the hope that God would provide. Do you daily remember what God has done for you through Jesus Christ? It's amazing to me that some days I'll finish the day and I look back and I go, I can't believe how often my mind wandered from the things of God. You ever feel that way? Yeah, most of us, we go off on our own agenda. And we're like, oh, what's a hymn? My heart prone to wander from the God I love. You're not weird. You're not abnormal. You're a fallen human being. But in Christ, we are to come back and go, Father, forgive me. Thank you for giving me Jesus. And continue to walk in that path. And so here's the reminder. Faith is agreeing with God that you indeed are a sinner without hope. Except for the fact that God graciously provided Jesus Christ, his Son, for your Savior. That Christ, by coming and walking in the flesh, he obeyed the Father perfectly. And then he offered himself as the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away my sin. And so I'm going to rest in what you provided because I can't do enough to fix it. I can't bring enough offerings. I can't bring a good enough offering to ever appease you, Lord. But Christ is my hope. That's what walking in the way of faith is like. And I encourage you to walk in the way of faith. Now next week we'll look at Enoch and Noah as we see the walk of faith and the work of faith, what that looks like. As we unpack walking in Jesus.